Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Well, it had to happen eventually. Cambridge United got a point yesterday. We'll be talking about that one in the studio and also on the phone with Matt. And both Histon and City continued their winning ways. Histon twice, once during the week and once on Friday night, which is, of course, still during the week. Not on Saturday. And City did the same again yesterday, 4-2 for them against North Lee. Hopefully we'll get Lance and Robbie on the phone. And I'll also catch up on the women's football. So far, the only one I've had a look at is that Histon have absolutely destroyed. Now, is it Islesham or Islam? It's Islam, apparently, in the County Cup, 9-1. We'll be talking about that, and we'll also get the results for United and City, should they have played. So you can contact us all the usual ways if you want to. You can text us on 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490. Or you can email studio at cambridge105.co.uk. So if you've got anything you want to talk about with any of the games we're covering, then feel free to do that. I've got Stu in the studio as usual. We'll have Steve on the phone, we'll have Mark on the phone, and we'll have Matt on the phone. And we will start, as we always do, with Cambridge United. So we saw Jez George at the football yesterday because, of course, now he works at Lincoln. he had a real go about a news report from the Cambridge News because I hadn't realised. I thought, because I saw it in the paper about him having become the director of football at Lincoln. But apparently, it happened 5 months ago as well. So it's not new news. It was just that he came out yesterday for some reason. So yeah, he's now the director of football at Lincoln.
Well, that's why they didn't win a game.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think they're doing well in spite of rather than because of Jez George, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I have to apologise. The fader was fully up, but someone's twisted the gain knob all the way down, so nobody heard that from you. But they can now hear you, so we'll carry on with that one. So let's first of all get hold of Matt. As I said, it was interesting. I made the comment last week about not deserving anything from games because if you don't put the ball in the net when you've got the opportunity, you're not really deserving no matter how well you played. And then I'll come back today and say that they were deserving of the result yesterday. It was actually a very good result, especially since you consider Lincoln were 6-0 winners last week and they scored in the sixth minute.
We literally had a spare player for an hour.
We'll come back to that one, but let's see if we can get Matt on the line. Hopefully he'll be around. But yeah, I think it was one of those classic. A, Lincoln are very good, so playing with 10 men isn't a massive disadvantage to them. But also, I think we found it difficult to open the game out and make top best advantage of it.
Yes.
Hey, are you there, Matt?
Yeah, hiya.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Matt.
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
So there we go. We managed to get a point, and we did deserve to get something from it, as I've just said.
Yeah, we certainly did. Absolutely. I think, you know, it goes two ways, really, Tim. You know, when you play against 10 men for so long, no matter how good they are, you probably really want the 3 points, and it's 3 points that we really could have done with yesterday. And I came away walking away from the ground a little bit disappointed that, you know, really and truly, we didn't really have a bit of a go at Lincoln in the second half. We kind of settled for the point, which played into their hands because they offered absolutely nothing in the second half. And even bringing on Kinde early on and Matt Green, of course, you know, in the second half, it didn't really make a difference. You know, I thought, you know, in those last 10 minutes, they were really going to put us under pressure. But, you know, we dealt with them well and we really, really just didn't get at them. Yeah, we had a couple of chances, but their goalkeeper's not really had to make too many good saves. Only one, I think, from Maris's free kick. So, I mean, you know, Joe Dunster's, you know, he praised the performance in his interview, saying, you know, oh, we'll take the positives from that. But I think a bigger positive is coming away with 3 points against the league leaders, you know, would have been so much more of a confidence boost, especially when you are playing against 10 men for 70 minutes. So,
but then, hang on, yeah. I take you back to the conversation we had at the burger bar literally just before the game started, where what were our comments? What did we expect or what did we want of this game? We wanted less than double figures.
absolutely. But that's football, isn't it? That at the beginning we'd take less than double figures. And the way the game kind of fell for us, you know, we're disappointed really and truly that we probably haven't taken 2 points more than we should have. And that, as I say, that's the beauty of football. You know, everybody will be delighted with that point. But personally, I'm a little bit more disappointed that we didn't really give it a go second half. You know, but hey, it's a point gained. We've got a big game Tuesday night against Swindon now. You know, the injuries are mounting again by the sounds of it, which is a bit of a worry. And, you know, it certainly does make Saturday against Macclesfield even more bigger when you find out that they've finally won a game of football.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we said the difficulty is that anybody Macclesfield win a game and all of a sudden it becomes even tighter and we could end up finding ourselves down at the bottom, and that six-pointer we were talking about before becomes a massive game now.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And, you know, that kind of comes from the frustration of yesterday when we could have had 3 points and, you know, the results haven't fallen our way. And, you know, maybe there's some more added pressure on Tuesday's game in terms of we can't really afford to lose it. But, you know, potentially we might just do that. But, you know, Macclesfield is an absolutely no-lose game now. We can't afford to lose it. No matter what, you know, we've got to be positive from the very beginning. You know, we can't sit back. We can't defend against them. We need to go at them straight from the off and put them under pressure. We're at home. You know, we've got to perform. And, you know, hopefully we don't know what the situation is with the two trialists, but maybe, you know, they'll be signed up in time for the game Saturday, because, you know, we certainly do need the bodies on the bench now.
I mean, this trialist thing is an interesting one. I wonder if they did actually respond to that spoof Facebook advert, but that's a separate matter. The difficulty is going to be, I mean, OK, they've both played football at League One standard, so they've obviously got, you know, they've obviously got something about them, but that
so
was...
So is Liam O'Neill.
Yeah. OK.
You've seen Liam O'Neill attempt to play football.
The interesting thing is, I mean, you know, they're not attached to a club. They'll be probably keeping themselves fit, but they're not match fit, and it could be several weeks before they get themselves to a stage where they're in a position to play, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether either or both, you know, whether one or both of them gets picked up as a result of the trial. But we don't expect them to see them jump into the team in the immediate future, even with the injuries we've got, because there's no point in, you know, you potentially all you end up doing is rushing them in, getting them injured, and then you're paying another player who's not going to do anything. So it's a difficult one. They've both got, you know, if you look at their record, they've both got a reasonable record, but then, you know, you ask yourself why have they been let go by their clubs, and why are they not attached to any other clubs if they're as good as their record suggests? So it's a bit of a difficult one.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the situation with Cody McDonald, I mean, it's very, very obvious, and it showed yesterday. You know, we're desperate for a striker, and out of the two of them, you know, I think Cody McDonald's probably the more likely to be signed up potentially this week, because there's only so much you can flog Addy Aziz in terms of, you know, he played 90 minutes yesterday, he played 90 minutes against, you know, the Southampton Kids, he played 90 minutes against MK Dons, he'll probably have to play 90 minutes again on Tuesday. So, you know, there's only so much that, you know, a footballer can take, and we haven't got the depth in squad, whereas, you know, if you can throw Cody McDonald on for 10 minutes, he's something potentially A, different, or B, potentially can take a little bit of weight off Aziz's shoulders. And, you know, yesterday, you know, Joe spoke in his interview how he said, oh, second half, I went attacking. Well, his attacking substitution was to bring Amu on for O'Neill. Not really attacking when, you know, you haven't got a second striker, which I thought we were really crying out for in the second half yesterday to really put the Lincoln defence under pressure. So I think Cody McDonald will probably likely get signed if he's, you know, up to a level that the club want him to be in terms of, you know, can come on for 10, 15 minutes maybe and make a difference. Frank Moose is a strange one, only because we've already got about four or five central midfielders sitting on the bench as it is. And
yeah,
the fact that Ossa Davey made an actual appearance yesterday, I thought he disappeared. You know, I didn't even realise he was still with the club because, you know, he just seems to be a fictional character at times, just somebody to fill a sub plate. So, so yeah, it's a strange one with Ossa Davey. He doesn't seem to get a look in, and then we're looking at another midfielder, and obviously Paul Lewis has spent more time injured than he has playing football, so you know, maybe they're looking to give Maris a rest because he's played a lot of football. So I don't know with Musa, but I think out of the two of them, McDonald probably gets signed this week.
Well, I mean, I think you made a good point there. I mean, George Maris looked quite jaded yesterday, I thought, and it might be a good time to give him a break, which of course we can't at the moment. You made the comment about Jake Carroll, because Jake Carroll finished his suspension yesterday, so hopefully he'll be back.
Hopefully. Is that hopeful?
I think he's played. I think, to be fair to him, he has played some good games. He's played some awful games, but he's played some good games recently, and I think we have missed
it. That's good.
Interesting. I think that for me, from yesterday's performance, again, the standout for me, Lewis John, I think, is looking every inch the League Two defender. I think he shows up both.
Hair as well.
As long as he doesn't put it in braids, because we lose when he puts it in braids. Yeah. It's all right when it's out. But I mean, I think he shows up, certainly, you know, Brad Halliday at the moment and Greg Taylor and Taft. I think, you know, he's considering, you know, he's been playing non-league football recently, you know, to step up. And okay, he's made a mistake, but then, you know, which one of our defenders hasn't made a mistake recently? You know, another one yesterday cost us a goal, you know, and that's the way it's been going. But at least we managed to get one back this time. But to me, he looks like definitely the best signing in some time.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, as you've mentioned, you know, you look at the goal yesterday, and I think Brad and possibly Deegan, I couldn't quite see, were at fault for the first.
I think it was O'Neill, actually. I think they both left it for each other.
Both were shocked. There we go. So yeah, they both were shocked there. But they, you know, Brad is not having a particularly good season by his standards, and I think you're absolutely right, Tim. You know, recently Louis John has faced some of the better strikers in this league in recent games, and hasn't looked out of place yesterday. And he probably faced two and a half of them yesterday in the Kinday, Reed, and Matt Green, and he dealt with them. And so did, and, you know, for all the criticism we've given George Taff actually in recent weeks, he didn't have a bad game yesterday either. You know, he looked okay. It was probably made a lot easier for him by the fact Lincoln did have 10 men for most of the game. But, you know, they looked very, very solid. And I think, you know, for all the criticism the summer recruitment has got over recent years, Louis John, you know, they've struck gold there, and they deserve a well done for that, you know, because he doesn't look out of place at all. And let's just hope that this time, with the sort of form he's in, he doesn't get dropped the week after and loses all his confidence.
I mean, this is from Keith rather than Lee. So it says, whilst yesterday's result was one that 99% of Hughes fans would have accepted before kick-off, those that made the trip may have felt hard done by it full-time. Danny Cowley suggested midweek that Cambridge were a top-10 side. Well, actually what he said is their results should make them a top-10 side. I'd simply assume that he meant top-10 in the in the conference, but it did seem like Lincoln gave us a bit too much respect as the match played out. And the sending off was a massive factor, and having seen replays and photos, it looked to be the correct decision. I mean, I think it was. I think there was no doubt that it was the correct decision from where, you know, from where we could see it, albeit at the other end. But it, for me, and the referee did it straight away. There was no hesitation. So I think, you know, he certainly saw it that way without actually thinking about it. At the time, the challenge looked tame, and after turning down two penalty appeals, the referee had made no friends at half-time. And it was interesting, actually, those two penalty appeals, definitely one of them, and probably both of them, also were candidates for potential red cards as well. So it could have ended up 9-10 by the time we got to the end of the game. The second half was very frustrating. And I think the problem was we couldn't open the game up enough to make use of the extra player.
Because we're not good enough.
I think Joe made the fair point, and we'll hear his post match. He said a 10-man Lincoln could beat most teams in the league anyway, which is probably true to a certain extent. And they certainly didn't seem to suffer from a lack of a player. I mean, it's great when one of your substitutes is Ekinde coming on, which again highlights the lack of depth that we've got. We should have turned the screw and gone for victory, but I sense that Dunn is frightened of losing games now. Well, I can hardly blame him for that one. Lincoln's substitution showed what a total lack of quality we had available on the bench, but regardless of the atmosphere, giving the younger forward players a chance wouldn't have dented their confidence at all. Aziz wasn't going to score, and Aziz did the classic again, the goalkeeper saved it, or actually rather Aziz hit it straight at him, which is what he seems to do far too often. He wouldn't score if he was there all week. We could have swapped him out for Foy or gone full on 4-4-2, forcing that fact we had an extra man. I was very disappointed with Lincoln as the top side in the division. They had less quality than the Luton side that went up last season. The match was there for the taking, and a win would have been huge. A chance missed, and with the tough away game at Swindon coming, I fear for our chances against Macclesfield. Watching the highlights of their win, it's safe to say that their attacking options look better than ours. And most people's attacking options look better than ours at the moment. We may well struggle to get anything from the game, especially when it's a 100% must-win match for both teams. On a positive note, Giovanni's goal was spectacular, and it's looking like we might get some new faces in the squad before January. I'd still like to see Joe Dunn forcing opposing sides to react to substitutions rather than chasing the games with late and pointless ones. We'll come back to that in a second. Why on earth did Lewis come on to shore up the midfield when we could have been winning a famous victory? I'm sensing a drab nil all on Tuesday. I don't even want to think about Saturday. It's odd even for me that I'm still negative in my comments after a 1-1 draw away at league leaders. His substitutions recently have been decidedly odd, trying to save the game with, literally a couple of minutes to spare by bringing on somebody or substituting someone out at the last minute. Okay, that's to slow the game and break it up. But he has got players on the bench, and he's got players on the bench that at some point are going to have to make a contribution, otherwise there's no point in them having there. Why are we not bringing them on?
I agree with you, Tim. I think at the end of the day, yesterday was a chance to force, and we had it the same last week. Substitutions win games sometimes, and we're not really making these subs at all. He brings off Liam O'Neill and puts on David Amu, which is fine, absolutely fine. I mean, we've seen it before, and I haven't got a problem with that. But if you're going to stick Amu out on that right hand side, move Lamb out to the left-hand side, push somebody up with Aziz, and let's go 4-4-2, and let's try and get at them. Stick Giovanni straight up if we have to. Go Maris and Deegan in the middle of the park. But, we didn't really force the issue in the second half. We had the extra man. We should have spread the play a lot more. We should have moved the ball a bit quicker. And in the second half, it was very slow, very tepid. And it's like, come on, guys. We've got a big chance here. And we just don't do it enough. And what's the point of having Foy and Knowles and all that if we're just not going to give them a chance? We've got to try and stretch the play. We've got 11 men against 10. We've got to do something. We've got to be positive, because if we're going to take this must not lose, we're going to settle for a point stuff, we'll lose it in the end. That was the downfall for Derry last season, because he was so scared of losing, he just stifled this team. Joe talked about going and playing attacking football. That's something that we need to do, and we need to do it, and it's got to start on Saturday, because, as I say, if we don't come out all guns blazing against Macclesfield, we know what's going to happen. They'll have one chance like every other team has at home this season, and they'll score that one goal, and then they'll shut the game down, and we're in trouble. So, you know, yesterday, let's say, it's one of them. It's frustrating, and we've got to do something soon. As I say, I fear for Saturday, but I think we might be okay. But it's going to nail-biting will be the word I think I'll use for Saturday.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how. I get why Joe is being a bit cagey. And perhaps not going all out for the win, because at the moment we'd rather we didn't lose than necessarily win. I think that the measure of the man is going to be what happens on Swindon on Tuesday. Are we going to go out attacking and looking for the win because we've now got a little bit of confidence there? And are we going to do the same on Saturday, or are we going to stick to the kind of, you know, we want to avoid losing? That's the most important thing, because I think you're right. If he doesn't get back to the way he was doing at the end of last season, which is going out without any fear and getting the results we needed, then I think, you know, he just, you know, is in danger of disintegrating in kind of, you know, the kind of finish that Derry had, unfortunately. Thanks very much, Matt, for joining us. We'll finish off by listening to what Joe had to say during the game. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks very much, Matt.
Yep, take care.
Cheers then, bye. So this is what Derry had to say following the game.
Well, Joe, battling a much-deserved point, but perhaps a tinge of disappointment there to get all three in the end.
No, look, we have to be... Listen, keep things in perspective, right? Lincoln with 10 men could probably beat a lot of teams in this league. They're a very good side. When they bank up like they did and make it, sometimes it's harder, and it was really tough. Did we do the right things with 10 men? I think we did. We moved the ball, we got into high positions, we got into goal-scoring positions. We probably lacked the final touch, which has been actually really good, if you like. Keeper made a really good save at the end, but I'm not going to stand here and say it's not a good point, because in the circumstances I think it is, and I think we tried to do the right thing and take the game to them in the second half, and we tried to do all we can against a team who were top of the league and probably going to win the league. And as I've said, a team that with 10 men are as strong with any team in this league with 11. So difficult place, crowd were amazing for Lincoln, and my team deserve a bit of credit, even though, as you say, we had 11 men. It's still hard because your two centre-backs become the spare player. So our spare players are the two nearest to our goal. So that's how difficult it is to play with 10 men. There's playing against 10 men with teams that are not quite as savvy as Lincoln, which is you could go on and score two or three goals. And then there's playing against teams with 10 men like Lincoln who could easily beat you. So I'm going to give my players a lot of credit for taking a point today, and I think we deserve it.
Yeah, and one word shines through today, Joe, and that's character.
Yeah, 100%. From the going a goal down, the way we did was really, really frustrating considering we've been working on it all week. We had indecision in the situation, and obviously then Reid, who we've practised all week, to how to deal with him in the box. And you think, OK, and I bet you everyone in the country who's got a bet against us today, with maybe four or five goals or more, we're rubbing their hands. Right, and guess what? We showed a bit of character and a bit of spunk that we've shown. And Giovanni came back with a great goal. And as I said, then it's game on. The tackle itself, I think you're probably going to ask me about that. He's a young lad, and you don't like to see young players. It's a learning curve. I don't think there's too much in it, if I'm honest. So I'll have a look at it, and then I'll... But I don't think there's too much in it.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, it looked dangerous from where we were, but...
I think it looks dangerous, but I don't think there's any malice in it. And the young lad Chapman is, you know, he's unfortunate. They'll say with the laws of the game, it's a red, but it's tough on the young lad, you know, really tough. I don't think he meant any malice in it. Hopefully he learns from it.
In terms of the goal, you mentioned Giovanni Brown's strike, an absolute peach. He's so dangerous when he gets the ball on his left foot in that kind of situation.
Well, that's why I played him in that position today. And he does that, you know, and he can do that. And he can do it in training, but he's got to get more consistency in it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple in the second half that balloon over the crossbar. So practice, Giovanni. Keep practicing. But he's adding goals to his game, which is what we've asked from him. And I thought today at times he was good, and then obviously there's still a lot of work to do on the training pitch.
And brought David Amu on at half time, and it just added a little bit more pace and a different outlet in that second half, Joe, and really stretched them.
When people talk about playing 10 men, you know, I have a philosophy about playing against 10 men, and that's just, you know, stretch the pitch. And David coming on, Liam was feeling a little bit tight, and I just thought, well, we'll make it, because there's no point risking what is a small squad. So David coming on was probably going to happen when the red card happened in the first half. But he gives us the width. Reggie gave us the width on the opposite side. There was a lot more spaces and we got into good forward attacking positions. We just couldn't break down a resolute, organised team.
And obviously supplying the balls into the box, both David Amour and Reggie Lamb for Adi Aziz. I thought tired towards the end of the game, but his work rate was the top draw today.
His work rate was very good. You know, there's obviously times that we think he can improve. There's plenty of room for improvement. But as a lone striker today, we asked him to do a real running job against the two centre-backs. So I thought he did that exceptionally well, and that's why we just took him off at the end, just to... Because that when your body gets tired, your mind gets tired, and you look at some of the goals we've conceded in recent times, you know, the concentration level needs to be right, and we thought of fresh mind, two fresh minds at the end, for exactly the reason why at the end when you get the corner and you think, okay, hang on, we dealt with it really well.
And you talk about concentration and side of that scare towards the end of the game. I thought defended pretty comfortably throughout.
Yeah. Even with when they had 11 men, I thought we'd walked on a way of playing this week, and the guys, I think they've been getting better. I really do, you know. I keep saying it. It's just silly moments and matches. But look, they're bringing on Akinde, they're bringing on Green, right? You know, even with 10 men, they're dangerous players, you know. And we deserve a bit of credit to that against a side that are going to rapidly get out of this league and then rapidly probably climb the next league as well. So great credit to my team today, because playing against Akinde, playing against Reed is never easy. And you know, for people like Lewis John, who I know has come out of the league below, they're real solid pro league kind of players. And I thought generally, I don't think 40 has had much say. You know, I thought the only way they were going to get in it was a set play. And that was disappointing today, the lack of discipline, giving away too many free kicks, certainly in the first half. When you're down to 10 men, you don't want to be letting balls come into the box. But overall, I think it's a good point to build on.
Yeah, all in all, Joe, I mean, you've seen your side over the last few weeks or so play some really good football without reward. It's nice to get a bit of fortune today and get something on the board.
I've just said that to the team. That's my message. I've been sick of praise from winning teams that we've played against, or how well we're playing. It's hard to take over a bud, you know, in the manager's office. Unlucky, keep going, you were the better team. I've got no apologies for today to anyone who thinks, oh, 10 men, what? Nah, sometimes you dig in and you grind, and we had a grind today, and we've had enough times where we've played well and lost, and today I think we've played okay actually, and done the right things against 10 men and tried to win the game. I think that's a big myth I want to dispel from a lot of probably frustration that's in and around the ground today. I did, with 10 men, I didn't play for a point. I tried to win the match with the substitutions and with the way we played. So we'll take it and go to Swindon and get fresh and try and build on it.
I was going to say that it'll be nice to see a few smiles in the dressing room this evening on the way home. It is a good platform for Tuesday, Joe, and what'll be another tough one?
Well, yeah, they're all, like I said, they're all very extremely tough, and Swindon will be no different on a big pitch on Tuesday night, but we have to be up for it. We have to get ready, move on quickly, and we'll train and get ready and try and get something from there, and then we go into a run of fixtures where, you know, the clocks go back and the balls change colour, and we'll see what happens.
I'm not sure we both just said the same thing at the same time. I don't know what the clock's going back and the ball's changing colours got to do with anything, but
yeah,
there you go.
Like it's about to break in the same game,
yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, if you look at the next three games, so in the space of you know, a week, in the space of just under 2 weeks, we've got Swindon on Tuesday, which will be a tough game. Then we've got obviously the key game, Macclesfield, and then the following Saturday we've got Grimsby as well, who are only three above the relegation zone. And I think those, you know, from those 9 points, I think if we don't get six as a minimum, then it'll kind of set the target for the rest of the year, because then we've got Colchester, Oldham, Bury, Crewe, Tranmere, Yeovil, and then, you know, Morecambe just before Christmas being the next sort of big six-pointer if we're still in that same position, unless we manage to go on a run that nobody expects. But then, as I say, nobody expected a one-all draw at Lincoln before the game. That's what we got. So we'll take away the positives, and I say Lewis John was a positive. Giovanni Brown scoring was a positive. Aziz making a real attempt on goal, unfortunately, still straight at the keeper, but he keeps doing it. I have this idea that it'll click suddenly for him, and he'll suddenly become a massive scoring prophecy. Oh, let me dream. Let me dream. Come on. So there we go. It's away, and a lovely drive, 2.5 hours down to Swindon midweek before Macclesfield at the weekend. And hopefully we'll come back and we'll talk about 4 points or possibly even 6 points. We shall see what we get from that. Yeah, 6 points, but potentially 12 goals. I think that would be really
sitting the bar.
Yeah. So we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio. With the Cambridgeshire Football Association. Promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
That's weird. I'm just looking. Oh, it's there. Sometimes you can't see things even though you're looking straight at them. And I think it's suddenly the Histon idents disappeared from the board, but it's not. It's there, and I could have played it, but never mind. We haven't put it on now. So we went to see Histon twice this week. You were there at both games, weren't you?
No, I was only
there. You were just there on Friday. Midweek game in the Cup under lights, and we talked to Lance. They play very well under the light, especially in midweek games, and both of them were. It was a local derby, third versus first, God Manchester, and they won the reverse fixture. You know, it was 3-1, found exactly the same score in the end, 3-1, and won this one. And I think more than anything, a great advert for football at that level, I thought. A good game, played in the right spirit, a little bit fractious at times, but generally played well. I think Histon came out deservedly the winners in a game that it was nil all at half time. Nobody really managed. It was fairly frantic. It was fairly end to end, and anybody could have scored, although I think Histon had the better of the chances and edged the first half. Came out went up 1-0. That was the penalty that started it off, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Max York put the penalty in, and then immediately, I think within three or four minutes, gave that lead away. And Histon of the past would have kind of then heads down, and they might have got a draw if they were lucky, or might have lost. But Histon, as they are over the closing half of the last season and the opening bit of this opening half of this season, a completely different side, play with a lot of character, a lot of guts, and no little amount of passing ability and tactical nous. They look like a really good side. They look as good as any side I've seen at that level over the last couple of years. And apart from the fact that it's only ever one that goes up now from this league, you'd have them as odds-on favourites for going up.
Absolutely. I think it's been a bit of a manic spill. 5 games in 13 days. They went into Friday's game. They had no Rob Ruddy, he was on the bench. They had no Ed Rolfe at the last minute. Danny Gould had to play a very different role. And as you say, Charlie Byrne equalised for God Manchester, and at that point you sink or swim. slightly rearranged team, and they took responsibility and they won 3-1. Matt Green scored the goal, Dan Brown finished off late on, and then I think attackers Dan Brown, Ed Rolfe have got a lot of praise. 2 huge tackles at the end, Max York and James Chivers.
That Chivers was a real match.
It was just after he made a real wicket by kicking the ball up in the air further than he had. he's growing, the team are growing. Danny Gould certainly wouldn't have put that performance in last season. They're taking responsibility, they're winning games, they're grinding it out, they're finding different ways to win. They're getting the team back together on sidelines. He's having to do less and less when they're in that position. Stowmarket dropped points again yesterday. Histon plays God, he plays Stowmarket next week. It's all falling into place. You have to be careful. The furlough nun is unforgiving. There will be bad days. There will be horrible places to go. But they're getting there. Histon are probably in the best place as a club they have been in 10 years, I'd say.
And it is interesting. I mean, we talked about it at the end of last season when there was an outside possibility they may go up because of the last time, I think, that 2 people went up. They kind of, you know, although they finished respectably in sixth, which was their target for the year, you kind of felt that if they'd made a bit better progress, I think mid-season when it tailed off a little bit, then they might have had a chance at that playoff spot. Now, of course, it's very difficult, and as you say, a couple of banana skins and it's all over. For, you know, you can be the second best side and you're not going to get anything out of it ultimately, which is, I mean I know it's difficult. You've got to have, because of the way the feeder system works, you've got to have places across all the qualifying leagues, but you do kind of look at it and think, you know, there ought to be some kind of playoff position for your playoff game for the second and third place teams in some kind of interleague tournament, which I've seen before. It just seems a bit unfair that, you know, it's a one-off chance every year.
It's a bizarre system with a lot of politics, a lot of self-interest amongst the different unions of different leagues. Doesn't really make sense. As you say, there's been some stunning teams. They've suffered. Newmarket, called Manchester for a couple of years. Newmarket, a couple of years ago. I think the thing that stands in the Eastern stead, and it sounds bizarre, but the last couple of years, Milnall and then Felixstowe ran away with it. I think it's possibly a good thing that Eastern haven't run away with it, because they might have got it caught in their feet. You know, they're building gradually. They're coming together as a team. Their performances are growing. And they all know where their goal is. I spoke to a few of them after. And, you know, they know about the FA Vars as well. But they're keeping things in context. Lee Smith goes away for a couple of months in November. Maybe bring a couple of more bodies in. They're taking one step at a time, and letting others do the talking, which I think is sensible.
Yeah. I mean, it is. To be fair, Lance has said, and he'll probably say again now, that he didn't see it as it's not a defining moment of the season, that it's a long season, there's plenty to go. But I just kind of wish, and it's not just for Histon, it's for every top two or three teams in all of the feeder leagues.
Oh, it makes more sense.
There's got to be a better way to do it than that.
Absolutely. It is a strange one. I think it's because Step 5 is almost sort of the gateway to the real kind of lower non-league. I think Step 4 teams quite protective, quite self-interested, and I think the difficulty for a long time, the Northern League, some teams don't want to go up from Step 5 in other areas of the country, some teams do at this end, so there's a lot of unfortunately, there is a lot of politics. The suits have a lot of power,
and I guess it is difficult, because if you get promoted into a Premier League where you're playing teams all over the place, I mean, okay, it's still north and south, but it's still a lot further travel. Then, you know, I mean, Histon found that prohibitively expensive in their worst, darkest days. It is hard work.
You only have to look at Wisbech yesterday. I mean, I went to see them play Loughborough Dynamo, which is one of their local rivals, you know, in that league. They got promoted from the United Counties League, and they've been promoted to the North Counties Eastern League. So they're playing Morpeth, Stocksbridge, Park Steels. That's getting promoted.
That is a lot of money.
You know, Mask, teams like that. They're getting, you know, and for the other teams coming down, and they got promoted from Step 5, which is regional football. And it's just bonkers, the way it works. And, yeah, I think something, they tried to change it last year, so you now have to go up from Step 5, but they haven't put the two up. It is very bizarre. Yeah.
Right, let's see if we can get... Oops, oh dear, why is it saying that? You're getting a Windows error when you try and dial the phone, that's great. Oh, no, what... Oh dear, payment required, call rejected. I think we've just officially run out of money at the station. Oh, I love that. Probably nothing I could do about that one then, in that case, given it's payment required. Okay, now what can we do now? I didn't bring my lead, and I don't think there's one over there anywhere that will allow me to plug the phone in, not that I can see. Oh dear. No, so I can't plug my phone in. I'm guessing, I don't even know, I didn't even realise they had this.
Hold it up to the mic.
Yeah, let's try that. I don't know how well that'll work, but let me just once more just make sure that's not a one-off, or it doesn't like Lance for some reason. Perhaps that's actually Lance's agent saying he wants paying, but hang on a second, let's... Oh, yeah, there you go. Perhaps it was, because it's now deciding it's going to dial. So I'm not sure why it was saying it needed payment for it, but there you go. So hopefully he'll answer the phone. Hey, Lance.
Hello, mate.
Hey, hello, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, so, well, we talk about a great week for you under lights at the Glassworld. Two wins and both in their own way must be very satisfying for you.
Yeah, very much so. I think, obviously, the Tuesday night replay, especially the first half, I think it's probably as good as we've been all season. Our tempo, our pace, our positivity throughout the first 45 was actually very, very good. And I think we blew Colney Heath away in those first 45. And obviously, their lack of discipline in the second half kind of made it actually difficult in some ways, because when they went down to 9 men, 10 men, it was, for some other reason, we kind of stepped off the gas a little bit. But it was still a very, very, very positive and professional performance on the Tuesday night. And then going into Friday night, obviously, against Godding, you never know how you're going to feel after two tough games against Colney Heath. And to put a performance in that like that was very, very pleasing.
And we were saying, we've just been talking about it, you know, there is, you look at the way Histon are playing, not just at the results, but you look at the way Histon are playing, and it is almost as good as it gets. I mean, the way you're working together, the passing game, the movement, everything about what you're doing at the moment is just working right.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Obviously, the group has been together now for nearly 2 years, obviously, and obviously, we've added to that squad, like I said many times before, that adds better quality to it. And I think we've touched on it before also, that goals coming from different areas, not just relying on your centre forwards. And I think the atmosphere within the camp is very good. The way we play, we can pass it, we can put it in behind, we can do both styles of football. And I think at the moment, we know when to do that and when not to do it. And I think that's the key. And so if we get ahead in games, or we need to do a bit more, you know, we might go a bit more direct. But In the main, at the moment, we know how to win games, and that's a lovely, lovely, lovely format.
I think the thing that stuck out for me, one, that you lost two of the bigger, physically the bigger players, Ed Rolfe and Rob Ruddy. So teams just say you're a lot bigger and physical. You had to play another way. And as well, Lewis McDonald stood out all season, and Danny Gould and James Chivers recovered from a couple of rickets. So it's other players taking responsibility and finding other ways to win. You know, and that really sticks out this season.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Obviously, I mean, Danny Gould can play in numerous positions, but undoubtedly his pace in behind is a real threat. But his movement away from the centre half into the fullback area, sometimes you can't mark that. And his willingness to run will then create space for Dan Brown, but then Dan Brown would do that for Danny Gould as well. So it's, from a front end perspective, it could be Ed Rolfe, could be Dan Brown, could be, you know, Danny Gould at the moment. And obviously, you bring Mac into the occasion in Lewis McDonald. And he's just a good seasoned pro. He'll give you 8.5 out of 10 every week. He's industrious, he's hardworking, he has good quality on the ball. And like I say, he's also scored 3 or 4 goals this season already. And with the addition of Andy, I can't pronounce his surname, but from Spain, our young Spanish player, who I think actually could be a very good prospect. And it just makes our ethos of how we want to try and play even brighter, because he's an attacking wing-back, just like Lewis McDonald is, which then frees Danny Gould to go and play up front.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a busy month so far, 5 games since the start of the month, and it's another two-game week again this week. You've got the League Cup, Ely City on Tuesday away, and then you're again away to mid-table Norwich United. How difficult is it being in order, you know, to get fresh players out onto the pitch?
Yeah, it's difficult, and obviously this week, especially Tuesday, we have 2 suspensions in Max York and Joe Sutton, so you lose 2 good players and key players of our squad. Obviously, our captain missing is a big burden to us, but then obviously Rob Ruddy didn't play on Friday night because of a hip injury, but hopefully he can then play on Tuesday night. So, but it is difficult, but obviously when you're going well, if you can actually get the troops to kind of pull together and get the results they need, so Tuesday night's game won't be a problem. It will be difficult to listen for it, I would expect, because obviously, you know, we're going well in the league, and with it being the League Cup, they may not be up to it as much as they should be. But again, it's the way we're going at the moment. We have a smallish squad, and so every single one will be used on Tuesday, because we need to grind out results and keep that momentum, because going away at Norwich United on Saturday won't be an easy try. And obviously then you have the FA Pies the following weekend. So, yeah, it's a big month, October.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Lance. I'll see you on Tuesday at the Cup game, probably. That's great. Right, thanks very much, Lance. Cheers. So there we go. Lance Key there. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about City.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
From the terraces.
Oh, sorry about that. I pressed the wrong button there, but you get two and a half idents before we finally find the Cambridge City one. Let's try and get... I haven't heard anything from Robbie, but we're probably running behind schedule anyway. Let's get in touch with Steve. Another win for, and I guess probably of all the games this week, the most expected. Now, there's always banana skins, as every manager will tell you, but you'd figure that North Lee and where they are in the league, it should have been a fairly easy game for City, and indeed it proved, at least by the scoreline, to be. Well, I was going to say that, but that's kind of standard for City. They like to make things a bit more difficult, but come back to win at 4-2. Two goals from Nelson Addy, one from Whitehead,
and Rose
his first goal for the club.
Absolutely,
and then Sharman to finish that off. But let's see if we can get Steve on the phone while we're here. But certainly, I think, is that four or five? Is that five in a row now?
Five in a row,
I think so. It's going to, again, another local team.
Barcelona.
Yeah, well, yeah, and, you know, somebody's got to do well. If United can't do anything, at least Histon and City are managing to get... oh, look, it's done it again. Payment required. Yeah. It obviously just doesn't like the first time I phone now. No, or the second. Let's try one more time to get Steve, and then we'll... You see, it works third time lucky is obviously the way it's supposed to work now. And it's ringing as well. So let's hopefully... Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
Hello, mate.
Yeah, how are you, right?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, we were just saying, is it four or five in a row that now?
Six unbeaten, five wins out of six.
Five wins out of six. I mean, you know, as we said, you did your usual and went behind, make life difficult for yourself, but came back 4-2 against a side that could have proved to be a banana skin, but in the end dispatched fairly easily.
Yeah, and it followed a similar pattern to the Peterborough game, and as you say, going behind, and the goals, you know, six goals again, all in the same order in terms of going back to 2-1 up, and then 3-1, and then them getting it back to 3-2 like Peterborough did, and then we getting a goal late on, as we did before. So very similar. But, you know, look, it wasn't easy. They, as expected, you know, they might be second bottom, but a lot of people were saying that, you know, their performance yesterday didn't really merit them being as low as they were. So actually, you know, it's another good win, because there's not many, if any, easy games in this league. I said, you know, yesterday on the other radio show that, you know, it's no game's easy. It's cliche, but it's true. And I think Robbie knows that. And I think, you know, he's done another professional job. And interestingly, you know, different goal scorers. Ebby's stepped up this week and scored two. And, you know, it's that front line that are looking really good again. And that's what we had a lot last season. We scored a lot of goals. I think 99 league goals last year. You know, we're scoring four and five, you know, six. It's starting to flow in the front third, certainly, so, which is really pleasing and good for the neutrals, good for people watching. So, yeah, very pleasing again. And, you know, we're up to second, you know, albeit some teams have got games to hand. I think it will start to pan out in the next few weeks when some of the teams play midweek to catch up. Some of them play next week while we're in the Cup. So I think in a couple of weeks' time, we'll sort of have a clearer picture of the real table. But we're certainly very much in the mix. And, you know, with Bromsgrove losing heavily, you know, Peterborough dropping points, that was a good week for us. So, you know, we're in the mix where we want to be. And I think it's starting to take shape, you know, September, middle of September. Last month, certainly, has been brilliant for us. And long may it continue.
And as you said, I mean, it's always a bit difficult looking at the league table sometimes, because on the face of it, you're second, but Bedford, Corby, and I think Peterborough could all potentially overtake you with the games in hand, but it will settle out. You've got, obviously, the trophy game coming up. You've got Bassford Town or Bassford United?
Bassford United,
who are... They're a step above you, aren't they, in the Premier League in the North, based in Nottingham. It should be an interesting game. game, and it should give you a good chance to test yourself against, at least on paper, better opposition.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be quite a good game because, you know, they're second or third in their league and above. So, you know, on paper, that's a really tough game, and it will be, no doubt. But I was looking, you know, they won yesterday away from home, but that's only their second win away. That most of their points have come at home, and they've got a 3G pitch, so obviously they're pretty good on that by the looks of it, and I think they've got a really good home record. But the way not so good, although I say they did win yesterday. They have some good players, no doubt, and they are a league above. But I think it's nice, the pressure's on them. You know, they've got to come to us. They'll be favourites because they're a league above, and I think we can play without any pressure. We can play the way we have been, and I think actually if they take us lightly, you know, we're going to teams like Northleigh and having not to take them lightly. It's going to be all around this next week, which is nice for us actually. I think. Because the pressure isn't on us like it is most weeks. And let's be fair, you know, most games we play now, with all due respect, we are favourites most of the time. There's some very good teams in it. But this next week, it won't be the case. So the pressure's off. We want to win it, of course we do, because of the money and because it gets you a step closer into some bigger teams and say a good cup run is what we want. But yeah, I think it'll be good. I think they score a lot like us. You know, they concede like us. So I'm giving it a kiss of death. It'll probably be a 0-0 now. But I think it's got the potential to be a lot of goals because I think both teams' strengths are attacking by the looks of it. And, you know, they won't know anything about us, really. They'll have to do their homework. We'll do the same. So it's kind of two unknowns, which, you know, I think in a cup game, I don't think either of us particularly want to replay. So I think it might be a very good open game with two decent footballing teams trying to go for it. So I think I hope I don't curse it, but it should be a good game, and I'm looking forward to that one. I think it's an interesting new opposition for us, and as you say, a chance to test ourselves a bit against the high league and see if we are, you know, up to the challenge. So yeah, get through the week training wise unscathed. Got a good squad now, as we say, and then just see what happens next week. I think it's a good test for us, and I'm looking forward to saying so to the players.
Cool, right, you've got 30 seconds. Lewis Whitehead scores his first goal for the Lily Whites. So, man, that must be good.
Very good. Very pleased for him. He's worked hard and he's slotted in well. You know, probably had a lot of faith in him, but when he signed him, said, you know, look, this guy's can step up, and he's shown it. He's done recent weeks, he's done really well, and he scored a really excellent goal yesterday, actually. So I'm delighted for him, and he's a very popular lad in the club as well.
You love him to pieces.
Excellent. Well, thanks there very much go. For joining us. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a first qualifying trophy round win next week. Excellent. Thanks very much. See you later.
Thanks.
Cheers, Em. Okay, so that's that. 4 minutes, 37 seconds to give us a summary of what's been going on outside of the teams we cover.
To be fair, the big result belongs to Meeple. I'll give them some credit. There's a team in the Peterborough League called Parson Drive, and they're spending thousands of pounds trying to get back to Step 6, and Meeple went there in the cup yesterday and they beat them, so that is a brilliant result. Fair play to them. The team's higher up, but Bostwick North, I get bored of saying it. Mildenhall lost at Bury, so home lost at home to Grays. But people are calling for Robbie Mason, starting to ask questions about him at Soham. That's a load of nonsense. Look at the details, they're playing well. Players are playing for him, leave him alone. Ely, their first team's basically become their reserves team. At the moment, they lost at Goulston 3-2. Difficult time for them. Newmarket are only furlough non-premier team in one. Came from behind to beat Witton. That's a good win. Haverhill Rovers got a decent point at Woodbridge. Huntingdon Town have gone from a 13-0 defeat to a 6-2 victory in a number of weeks, but they maintain that they have not started to pay their players again. So I should repeat that they are not paying their players again. They've just managed an 18-goal swing by playing well. St Ives Town were beaten 4-0 yesterday. Mini Rutt, I'm not sure Ricky's too happy. He looked devastated when they lost in midweek. Gave him a cuddle, but he's not having a great time of it. Haverhill Borough won in the cup, a place I've never heard of, Grundis Borough. In the Premier League, Kershaw Prem, both Cambridge University Press, who won 3-0 at West Ratton, and Foxton, who beat Great Shelford 3-0. Impressive results, and actually the Kershaw Prem looks like it might go one of a few ways. Senior A Whittlesford are still going well. They held Milton at Milton. There are a few other decent cup results. And Cottenham won 5-0. That's the biggest result for a few years. We beat Girton 5-0 in the league, now up to the heady heights of mid-table, and dreaming of a mid-table finish this season. That's 5-0. Cottenham won 5-0. Just going to repeat that as many times as I can. Lovely.
So there we go. And we ought to although we don't cover St Neots anymore because they're just outside the broadcast zone, for those who are St Neots fans, unfortunately, the fourth qualifying FA Cup draw, Alfreton Town away, didn't go quite according to plan. Half an hour, the opening half hour, really saw St Neots put to the sword. 4-0 they lost in the end. Although, to be fair, I mean, I guess Alfreton would have taken their foot off the pedal a bit, but it was a nil all second half. But it wasn't to be for Saints. But congratulations, and at least getting to that stage. If we do stay on, we're just about to finish, but stay on Cambridge 105 Radio. We've got Easy on the Ear with Tony Barnfield. He's going to feature Charles Aznavour, who died recently. Listen out for that. Then we've got the Scar and B Show at 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock. We've got Rebel Arts Radio 9 till 10. And then we've got Stagger 10 till 11 before we round out the evening with Sarah Sam in the Opus 105 Classical Music Show. So that leaves us with just on a minute to go. Hopefully we'll be talking about at least 3 points, and ideally more than that, for United next week.
11-0 win for the women today.
We didn't cover that yet. That's sorry.
Then the goals were flowing.
47 to all the women. 9-1 the Histon women beat Ireland. Ali Wright got a hat trick. 11-1 City ladies beat AFC Sudbury. Laura Mills got 4 goals, and United beat Bluebirds 11-0.
That's 31 goals.
With Blanche Flower getting a hat-trick. So hat-tricks in all of those games. The Histon game was a County Cup game. The City game was a league game. And the United game, I think, was another County Cup game, wasn't it? Sorry about that. I knew we'd got something else to finish. If the men can't play football and score goals, well, at least the women can. But it's looking good there. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Stu, and everyone else who joined us on the phone. And we shall see you next week. Do stay tuned for the rest of the evening. Thanks very much, and good night.